get ready to get your cheeks clapped. So, anyways, all right, here we go. What's going on, folks? Welcome to the Lemonade Podcast. I am your host, Frank. Here at the Lemonade Podcast, we go by the same. When life gives you lemons, we make lemonade and we pour it onto the world. With that, we hope to encourage, inspire, and empower any of you listening and tuning in. Not only that, our guests are themselves. And today's guest is Mac. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. Well, it's a pleasure to have you. It's a little warm today, though people might see this when the weather's a little cooler. So kudos to them. Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
Yeah, so we've rescheduled this, what, like three times now?
Maybe. Third time's a charm.
Two, three times.
But yeah.
I came down here, so.
No. I appreciate it. I know you've come a long way. Physically, right? Yeah. It was a bit of a drive. So I appreciate that. Appreciate making the time, coming down here. And we're excited to have you on and hear your story. You know, like I said in the beginning or before this, we talked about how it's just a conversation. You know, whatever it is that you want to share, it's on you. And anything that you want to plug, whether it's your business, a friend, your partner, whatever it may be, you know what I mean? I say it because she's out there. Yeah. Yeah. Say hi. Yeah, anything as far as when it comes to that, you can do so. I say business because I know we spoke about some of that before through DMs and whatnot. I know you have a business, right? And we can get into that. I hope we do because one of the reasons why I have the podcast is to be able to plug people. One of those people, and this is not a shameless plug or anything like that, but no, one of those people is my niece who makes our candles, who the podcast is sponsored by, Emzo Essentials. So if anybody's out there in need of candles, they smell good. You said you,
one of the first things I noticed when I sat down.
There you go. There you go. It wasn't me, it was him. There you go. So no, it smells really good. Plus we got one burning, so there we go. Anyhow, yeah. So thank you again for coming through and making the trek all the way. It's a pleasure. Yeah. So real quick, getting into what you do, just we can get into that. So you are a rope bondage artist.
Yes.
Right. All right. So what does that entail?
So what that entails is essentially you take mm-hmm. consenting adults.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're doing a photo shoot based on traditional Japanese style bondage.
Okay.
Known as shibari or kenbaku, depending okay. on. What style you're doing it.
Got it. Okay.
So it's mostly about, there's geometric lines, real harsh angles and stuff
mm-hmm.
that are combined with the more typically feminine or organic curves of the body.
Okay.
And those contrasts are kind of the attraction.
No, you could, the first thing I told you. No, I'm just kidding.
First thing
no, you can take that one, Matt. He's going to, boom. All right. Two more.
Yeah.
I'm not responsible for that. Matt's the one that'll kick you off. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We haven't had one yet, but hey, first time for everything. You know what I'm saying? No, okay, I'm sorry. So, how long have you been doing it for?
That's kind of hard to say.
Okay.
I was first exposed to it years and years ago. You know,
okay.
You see it online or what have
you. Yeah.
But I'm going to say it's about 2008, 2009.
Okay.
Floating around the Pacific Ocean.
Nice. Okay.
On a big ship.
All right.
Leaving Hawaii and the ship breaks down in the middle.
This is a true story?
It's a true story.
Holy crap. Here we go.
So.
Ship. He likes ships. Matt, you're a ship.
He's a ship guy?
Yeah.
You know what an LHD is?
Yeah, I was
on an LHD and the sucker broke down.
Yeah.
It was either the Boxer or the Bonhomme Shard. I want to say it was the Bonnie Day.
Okay.
Anyway. So it breaks down.
Maybe we should have Matt do the part in the interview.
We'll
a tear will burn to the ground?
No. Those things were built way back in the 60s and 70s for someone who is 5'10". Me at 6'4" and 290 business.
Yeah.
I was a little big for that ship.
There you go. Ship or shit?
Ship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah,
no.
You got to duck under every bulkhead.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. But then again, I wasn't on the ship to do work. I was just catching a ride.
Oh, okay.
But
this story gets more interesting. I have so many questions.
Engines break down, main failure. You don't have parts in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And instead of trying to turn that giant ship around and float back to Hawaii,
it's
easier to coast to Japan.
Oh, okay.
So they coast to Japan, they dock in Okinawa, and they drive out this gigantic ship to fix it.
Boom.
And they're like, hey, we don't have enough food for you because we planned for this 90-day trip.
Uh-huh.
So.
Bye.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You got shore leave, just be back by midnight every night.
Okay.
So me. I'm 19 at the time.
All right. Yeah.
Lost in the sauce in Shinjuku, Japan.
Got it.
Going mainland, doing whatever.
Yeah.
With whatever money I had in my pocket.
Okay.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
So I started picking up odd jobs because a lot of the signage out there, you can find it in English.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I got a job at it's a photography studio.
Boom.
Real narrow, tall building.
Yeah.
Each floor is set up differently. And mm-hmm. It's move lights, move furniture.
Oh, nice.
Just be a big gringo.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all you got to do is pull gotcha. Stuff around.
Yeah.
And it's about the third day I went back. The entire studio had changed.
Whoa.
Everything was blacked out.
Whoa.
We were shooting bubblegum ads and, you know, just random stuff, advertisement stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I come back and there's these beautiful pictures of this rope bondage and all these ladies everywhere.
You're like, whoa.
Giggling models running around in little robes.
Got it.
What am I into now?
Okay.
I don't see much furniture.
There's no bubblegum here.
Right. But I also see beautiful silk rope laid out.
Oh, okay.
And all these pictures everywhere. So somebody had hired the studio, you know, hired the photographer, had lights, hired the models, had their nice like woven silk rope there, put their pictures up, whole shebang, day long production,
nice,
and shown up.
Oh, what the hell?
Right. So somebody spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here. I'm still getting paid.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you're 19 years old.
Yep.
Surrounded by beautiful women.
Yep. Exactly.
You start talking to them.
Boom. There.
Right. Between the little Japanese I knew.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Convince one of them to sit down, like, hey, see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah.
So there I'm looking at one of these pictures, looking at the picture,
all right.
Start kind of
breaking
it down, decoding it, just breaking it down to figure it out myself.
Right, 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 yeah.
And I get about 90% of the way through the tie, and in bursts the dude who had actually rented the place.
Oh, right.
And he is pissed. A, because I'm touching his models, which is a no-no.
Right.
Big no-no.
Yeah.
I'm touching his silk rope. Which
even worse. How dare? Yeah. How dare you? He's probably why he was mad.
You know, he's coming in. But he's an Italian guy.
Oh, forget about it.
He was raised in Japan.
Okay.
So if you've ever been screamed at in Japanese.
Oh,
with an Italian accent, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
And he didn't know who the hell I was.
Yeah.
Some dude.
Yeah.
Kind of stand out.
Man, this story is just getting better. No, I like it. I like it.
But he figures out that I speak English.
Okay.
Right? And he's like, chewing me out, basically. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What are you doing here? And I said, hey, the studio hired me. Just said, come back. I'm sorry I touched your girls, blah, blah, blah. You weren't here.
Yeah.
Didn't mean anything by it. It's like, well, who tied her? I did.
Yeah.
Where'd you learn that?
Like the picture.
That's one of my most famous pictures.
Yeah.
Published everywhere.
I got you.
I just kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
And he took kind of a breath and a pause and said, are you here for the next couple of days? Said, yeah. Well, I want you to come back. You'd be
Boom.
My assistant because none of these guys speak English.
Boom.
Boom.
There you go.
So learn from him. John, happy name.
Okay.
He's a world famous shibari artist.
Okay.
But taught me a couple of things and gave me some of that nice real silk rope.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get back on the ship and float away.
There you go.
And promptly forget about it.
Mm.
You know, it's just a skill you have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
I'm still young. Not the most charming individual.
Okay.
So.
No.
That's not first date material.
Okay. It isn't.
With that.
It isn't. Ladies.
Maybe not.
Or whoever. Hey, it could be.
Maybe I found my people.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, I was
back
still
then,
an awkward kid, so it's not something I would
in a foreign land
very often.
Okay.
And then flash forward. Now I'm here in California.
Yeah.
Early 2010s and 50 Shades of Grey comes out.
Oh, of course. Yeah. There it is.
And that gets every housewife out there just frothing.
Yeah.
some friends of mine decided, oh, well, we saw that in the movie. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. I've told the story, and people are like, as soon as I mentioned 50 Shades of Grey, their eyes either light up or they do the,
Disappointment?
Excuse me. Because in the community, there's some red flags in that story.
Okay,
there's some consent violations.
It's Hollywood.
Problematic
it's the, yeah,
for certain
people. I gotcha.
I
get it.
It's the first portrayal some people ever saw.
Right.
You know, rope.
Bondage and all that.
That kind of
thing.
People think bondage, they think chains, they think whips, they think all the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
This was a little sensual, a little more sensual.
Yeah.
You know, you're tied up with a silk scarf. What happened?
Right.
Anyway, friends of mine decide, oh, we're going to do it. They try it. She winds up in the ER with some nerve damage.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Two fingers didn't work too well for a little while.
Gotcha.
Pretty serious deal.
Yeah.
But they were still into it. They were still
desired
it. And I had known the guy since high school.
Okay.
He knew I experienced some of this stuff because, first thing I did when I got back from Japan is, guess what I did?
Right, right.
I told everybody.
Oh, yeah. Right. You have to.
It was great.
I come back with stories.
Like, can you teach me how to do that? So I was like, sure. So, you know, pull that trick out of your backpack.
There it is.
You
know, yeah.
Out of your toolbox. Dig yeah. Taught them a few things. They told their friends. They told their friends. And it kind of ballooned from there. And I went from just some random guy
mm-hmm.
to being injected into this entire community I didn't even know existed.
Mm.
Here in San Diego, up in LA.
Yeah.
And made a bit of a name for myself.
Right.
Because I always focused on safety, on consent, yep. on all that good trash.
Yeah.
Because people want to dive right into it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them.
And it looks pretty. It looks pretty.
It looks
pretty.
It looks pretty.
That's,
pretty.
Yeah.
And people are threatened by the latex, the leather.
Really?
People see some of those movies.
Yeah.
Like they got some crazy German dude's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay. What was that movie? Road Trip?
Euro trip.
Yeah, kind of exactly like that. Yeah, with Xena.
Xena
the word. I was like, hey.
But that's if your thing. I'm not knocking it, but that's what people
right.
automatically
go to that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bondage.
Definitely, yeah, right? Yeah.
So this is something that's a little softer, a little more sensual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's scary because someone can get flogged or paddled for hours.
Mm.
You're going to have a rope time sitting for a couple weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
Rope can kill you in minutes.
Yep.
Like,
okay.
It can literally be super dangerous. So there's a whole different skill set to it.
Yep.
Some experiences through my life kind of led me to,
mm-hmm.
and like intuitively picking it up.
Yes.
But I'm one of those guys who I don't think I'll ever learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always something to learn. There's always new experiences out there.
Yeah, there's definitely room for, I don't want to say improvement, but it's growth. Okay. If you think about it, it's always growth, growing, and evolution. At the end of the day, that's one of the things that I've shared with people, especially this year through the podcast and friends. It's like, it's not a whole new year, new me. It's an evolution now. I'm evolved from last year to this year, even this year alone. But it's been great to be able to sit down with people and not only see them from the beginning, because like I said, the reason why I started the podcast and even just the Lemonade Movement in general was to be able to bring people on, show them, showcase them, but also it's those people that just started. I'm not saying you just started, you know what I'm saying, but I'm a fan of what you do. You're in the community. When I met you, we were in the middle of it. Like, I was shooting, you were doing your rope thing, and it was like this collab without really knowing, but it was great to be there and to see you. But like I said, to have this platform for people that are just starting out or, you know, branching out into something new, and to be able to watch them, their evolution is my aspiration. So, like I told you, one day, hopefully, we're in a bigger space, and you can come through and be like, hey, Mac, have you on again? What's been going on since then? And you're like, I'm over here, this and the other. I went back to Japan, and I met the dude again. I don't know. You never know.
Nice. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I love that about seeing even, like, raw talent, you know, and the evolution. And we're here to, once again, like I say, encourage, inspire, and empower those people, because I believe that sometimes you just need that inspiration. You need that little push of, like, I like what you're doing. I see with the passion. I also see the, whatchamacallit, the potential. And when I see that, I root for everybody to win. This is what we're here for. But I want to be able to see that growth and the evolution as you talk about. You know what I mean? So this is why we have all this going on. So once again, I'm glad you're here. One of the things I want to ask real quick, because you mentioned I'm sorry for lack of a better term, the dangers in what you do with rope bondage. Is there one? What are maybe like the most common, I would say? I don't know if, you know, forgive my wording, you know, but also, is there anything that you've ran into?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
So. And how it is that you got out of it, or, you know, what, you know, just the end game in that. Was everything okay? You know what I mean?
Well, so we can dive right into that.
Okay. Yeah.
So start with another story.
Yeah, I
so
like
one,
it.
One thing about getting lemons, right?
Yes. There
you
go.
Turn lemons into lemonade.
You can.
If you're taking something sour, you turn it into something sweet.
Yes.
But also you get seeds.
Oh, okay.
You plant those seeds, you get more lemons.
Boom.
Later on.
Okay.
So
I like
those
it.
Those seeds I got a long time ago.
Yeah.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
I was a lifeguard.
Okay.
Right. And the guy I trained under, he's a pro surfer. really cool guy, Jason Garding, if you're out there.
There we go. Jason, remember? Yeah. No? I mean,
he may see this, he might not.
Well, hey, you never know.
He was
day.
An awesome dude to learn under.
Yeah.
One of his kind of catchphrases, if you would, is the best lifeguards never get wet.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
His whole thing was be attentive. You know, if you're sitting in the chair, you're constantly scanning, you're not getting distracted by this, that, or the other.
Yep.
You know, it's a community pool, you're in high school, there's stuff to look at.
Yeah.
No, do your job.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I never got wet.
Gotcha.
For like 3 years I was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
You know, besides jumping in and having fun, I never had to go in and physically get to someone.
Right, because you're watching.
Because he instilled in me, be diligent.
Yes.
You're here to do a job. Until you step down from that chair, you're doing that job and nothing else.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think in kind of formative years in high school, as you're working, developing a work ethic, those habits continue on to your professional life.
Yep.
And that continued on into my rope bondage career.
Nice. All right.
So one of those things that I have a bit of a reputation of is I never shut up.
Okay.
Shoot.
All right.
Someone I've never met before.
If you've ever shot with Mac and he's, I was tied you.
Right.
I mean, you could attest to this. I don't know. Like I said, I've only met him once. And we shook hands. He said what he said, and I was like, great. And we got to work. But we never really interacted during that shoot. We were in our zone. I feel like we were both in our zone. It was dope. But I didn't get to hear you because there was a lot going on, too. So.
Yeah, the photographers battling over the flash remote.
You know.
30 people running.
Yeah, and I was like, I think I brought my own flash, and I was like, I'm going to. Yeah, I kind of like stay in my lane, especially in somewhere new. So
that was hectic, but man, I got some good content out of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a great shoot. Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you don't shut up.
So I don't shut up. Yeah. So imagine me. I'm kind of a bigger guy, a little intimidating to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to look them in the eye and stare at them. It's an old habit.
Yeah.
Makes people uncomfortable sometimes.
And I'm not uncomfortable, Mac. You can stare into my eyes. I think it's the beard.
It could be the beard.
Matt, come on. You need to catch up, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe during the winter. Because this summer, some people are like, this doesn't help the heat. I'm like, I don't care about my face. It's fine. So.
Anyway, getting back to it is like, okay, so me being able to interact publicly, be a little more outgoing is kind of a learned skill.
Okay.
I'm the youngest of seven kids.
Oh, are you the baby? I'm the baby. Yeah. Same here. Yeah, same here.
But they're old enough to where I kind of grew up alone. And
okay.
My mom had already; she was already kind of burnt out.
Yeah.
You know, babysitting myself, doing my own thing.
I can relate.
So the social skills.
I love my sisters. They helped.
Oh yeah, I love all my sisters that talk to me.
Okay. If you're watching this, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they outed me to my parents a couple of years ago. By the way.
It is what it is.
Hey, it's what I'm doing. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shock for a little while. They're okay now.
Yeah, it's fine.
But.
Sorry.
Where was I? Learned skill, being able to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So a couple years ago in the military, I was a platform instructor. So I got to be up on a podium or on the dais speaking to somewhere upwards of 1,000 people to keep their attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so got to learn to do that. Audience snapping questions, keep them engaged.
Yep.
So that was overcoming that particular lemon, was the fear of public speaking, the fear of... interacting, because I need people to trust me that I know what I'm doing.
Yes, which is crazy because I think it's like the most like feared thing, like in the world. Like everybody fears public speaking, and I'm like, the military helped me too. I think I just got up there and was like, oh, okay, now we talk to everybody, and you don't realize it. I mean, because it's like, hey, you have to do that part of that's part of your job. So you get up there and it's like a whole platoon or a whole battalion, and you're just up there talking, and you don't realize that it was all these people that you just spoke to, and they're just like following exactly, you know, interesting you. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
So that translates again. That was another seed got planted. Move on into rope. I am meeting said name model. You know, compared to me, big ass guy, little petite thing, and she is now approaching me with a desire to be immobilized.
Yeah.
You know, and pictures taken of them.
Gotcha.
So there's got to be a certain amount of trust and confidence in each other.
Yep.
Meeting as a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Just today, I was chatting with someone. Another photographer referred her to me. She wants to do a shoot. But she also wants to learn.
Okay.
And all these things.
Yeah.
And my first questions are always, okay, what do you want to learn and why?
Yep.
Why do you want to learn it now?
Yeah.
Who are you going to be tying with? And they're like, well, why are you asking me all these personal questions? It's important because you're a stranger to me.
Yep.
I'm going to instill in you a skill.
Yeah.
I don't want you to hurt yourself. Yep. Then I feel somehow tangentially
responsible. Yeah, definitely.
So in a shoot, I'm always checking. I'm always asking how you feeling. Any pinches, something snagging,
right.
Something different. I can do the same tie 1,000 times on 1,000 different people.
Yeah.
Somebody's different. Someone doesn't want to speak up because they're afraid they're gonna ruin the vibe.
Yeah.
I have one rule. Every time I tie, every time that there's a photo shoot going,
yes,
you're gonna be focused. No matter how tough you are, you know, strong, independent woman. All right, rock on.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be tough with me.
Right.
If it doesn't feel right, we'll fix it.
Right, exactly. Right on there.
I carry safety cutters. I can get it off you immediately. I can retie it. Do whatever. Don't worry about time. Don't worry about the look.
Right.
You just need to be comfortable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things, too, with what I do, you know, with every other, you know, subject matter as far as what I shoot, but especially in boudoir, because it's a, what I say, it's a very vulnerable place. Exactly. You know, and sometimes it's people you don't know at all, and they're coming here or wherever it might be, and they're taking their clothes off for you, for lack of a better term, right? And you're there and you're shooting, and for some reason, they're super comfortable. They trust you. I don't want to say for some reason, obviously, there's many reasons, but they trust the stranger. And I think it's because, once again, like for me, I always say, I let the work speak for itself. So they can trust that and be like, hey, I'm going to go shoot with Frank or tie with Mac, you know, because I trust, or I heard as well how their experience has been with them. And so I just do my thing. It makes it easier, obviously. But yeah, it's like I said, it's a very vulnerable place to be in, whether it's being semi-nude, or especially if you've never done that, if you've never tied before, you know, it's a very vulnerable place. And for someone to come to you and be like, hey, do your thing, you're like, okay. And I understand that. I understand why you feel the responsibility, you know. It's immense, you know. Absolutely. Because the other factor is, once again, the dangers in it, you know. So yeah, no, that's dope. I like it.
Well, the end result, obviously, is always pretty to look at. And that's unfortunately the only thing that's ever recorded.
Yes.
The visual aspect of it.
Yep.
One of my favorite things about rope bondage in particular as a profession is when you get those first-timers.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because it's, you know, they don't know what they're doing, or right, they can do whatever and get away with,
right,
which is super toxic and it's out there.
Yep.
Some
drama
occurs
when
people target newbies.
Gotcha. Yep.
But I love when someone comes to me, they've been married 15, 20 years, they want to surprise their significant other, and they're coming in, and they're literally, like, their teeth are shattering,
because
they're so nervous, and they're so scared.
Gotcha.
What if I don't look right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah, breathe. Yeah.
I got this.
Yeah.
And you're with me. We're going to make this work.
Yeah.
Lady Cannon, this is some years ago. Same thing. She's very attractive, but she's got her hair done up. She's got her. She showed up completely done to the nines. Like, okay, she's ready to play. But she comes in, and at the time she was super nervous, like
the shakes and everything.
Like she's
there.
I'm in the middle of tying someone else, but I already keyed off it.
Yeah, you feel it. There's a vibe.
You're tied. You're good. She's safe. Photographer, do your thing.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. So her shoot hadn't even, you know, it's 30 minutes away, and she showed up a little early, you know, do primping, whatever she got to do, and pour a glass of champagne. Like, hey, do you drink? Would you like a cup?
Yep.
She holds that flute up, and it's literally
Man.
Like, just,
Yeah.
I sat down, and without any pretense, introduced myself, explain what's going to happen, ask her what is she worried about.
Yep. Okay. And
not a single thing she came up with was her safety.
Right.
It's just, how am I going to look? How is my husband going
to
take this?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Is he going to be angry that another man touched me?
Yep.
Like, you know, everything is out in the open.
Yeah.
So the entire thing is being photographed. I'm not going to touch you in any way you don't want to be touched.
Right.
I'm not going to touch you inappropriately to where it would be, you know, an issue.
Yes.
We are here for the aesthetics.
Yes.
And that's what you want to present to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
So just,
go roll with.
Let me guide you.
Yeah, I got this.
You know, just relax. And 2 hours later, as she's leaving the studio, rock steady.
Yeah.
Biggest smile you've ever seen. Just like, that was amazing.
Yeah. Right. It's, you know, it's what people walk away with, you know, going into it. They're just like, ah. And I've been there. Not me, myself, right? I haven't been tied up. I don't think that's my thing. But you never know. Yeah. We'll see. Hey, no.
That might be the
send off. That might be it. But yeah, when people come in, even a little nervous, like you said, man, and then just how empowered at times they become. It's just like, and they walk out, and I'm like, there she goes, and she's like, I can't wait for the next time, and I'm like, you know how to find me, mm-hmm. you know, which is it's dope. It's a dope experience. It's a dope feeling to have just send people away with that. They're like, hey, absolutely. You walked in and this very vulnerable and walked out super human, you know, and it's super dope.
I wish there was a way to project that out. Mm-hmm. More into the world.
Yes.
Because, I mean,
yeah.
I've seen your work.
Thank you.
Fantastic work.
I appreciate that.
I work with some amazing photographers, mm-hmm. and they only put out the best.
Yeah.
Now they take 300 photos. They mm-hmm. edit 6,
yeah.
maybe 10.
Yep.
Nobody sees that aftermath, that empowerment.
Yeah.
That change between mm-hmm. beginning of the shoot and after.
It can be tough. It can be tough to because at least for me, I have visions, you know, for what I do. And when I see just one specific person, I was like, hey, this is how I see you, and this is how we're going to present you. And so you can see yourself, that empowerment, right? But it can be tough to bring that vision to life. And that's the hardest part of, I feel, is of just an artist in general. You know what I mean? But as hard as it can be, it's the most rewarding when you really see it. And when people, like you said, walk out with this empowerment, just confidence, and they walk out, they're like, yep, I'm a bad, whatever it is, you know, insert in there. You know what I mean? And that's like the best compliment to me, because I helped with that. I don't want to say I did that, but it's like I helped because I knew it was in you. And you just said, when you showed up, that in itself is, you know, courage, because not a lot of people do that or even think about it. They might think about it, but they don't go through with it.
That's,
you know
what
I mean? That is, well, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
But definitely, it's always great to see people in that light, and to have just then later on show them, mm-hmm. and they're like, wow, you made me look. And it's like, no, you look like that. It's just we put you in a different light, maybe tied you up and a little bit of, you know, an angle here and there, but it's you. And they're just like, you know, just I can't believe it. I'm like, well, believe it, because it is. And like I said, they walk around with this confidence now, and like you said, the smile on their face, and they're just ready to go out there and just, hey, we're gonna show everybody now, not just my husband or whoever, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, but that's fun times. We're going to, real quick, get into the business.
Oh, okay.
Because we discussed that. What is it that you do?
So on the business side of things, like I said, in the military, I was a platform instructor.
Yes.
So I bill myself as a bit of an educator.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to learn rope,
yep.
be it for their own use, just they're curious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done interviews with psychologists, things about those natures.
I like that. Yeah.
Aspects of it. What are people attracted to?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Being kind of a central hub to
mm-hmm.
so many people's first time experience.
Yep.
I've kind of cataloged it a little bit.
I like it.
Been able to share that with people.
Yeah, no, it's dope.
People contact me usually through social media.
Yep.
And they're like, I love your work. How do I learn how to do this?
They
live in DC.
Okay.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you who to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you how to vet someone.
Gotcha.
This is the questions you should ask. You know, all
yeah.
those kind of things.
Okay.
And here's a hot tip for you if you're ever going to an interview.
Hot tip. Boom.
If anybody's interested in you, right, be it at a bar or you're trying to get hired, and they give you all the positives about it. Okay, these are all the things we're excited about. This is what you can do for the company. Cool. If you really want to hook them and you really want to get their attention,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, that's all great. I'm happy to be a part of the team. I'm excited to get this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
What are your reservations?
Mm.
What would cause you to hesitate?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And they think about it. Nobody's ever asked me that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm interviewing you.
Nobody wants to hear that answer.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I don't like your face.
Yeah.
Well, I'll work on it.
That's okay. I was born with this one. So.
Yeah, my mother gave it to me. So you kind of catch them off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell them, okay, if you're going to go tie with someone you've never met before,
mm-hmm.
okay, you got to ask them a couple questions. A, who have you tied with before?
Mm-hmm.
Can I speak to them?
Yep.
All right. What are your limitations?
Okay. Yeah.
Because if they're not willing to express what their limitations are, they're like, no, I'm the biggest thing out here.
Yeah, I got this. And then you find out.
You find out. Yeah, their skills aren't as strong as you think.
Yep.
Or, you know, bad things happen.
Yep. All right. No, that's good.
Yeah.
We get to knock today.
We get to knock. But then the third thing is, okay, You've explained who you've tied with. Right?
Yep.
You've explained your limitations. Now, when have you failed, and what did you do to to make sure that never happens again, or to fix it?
Yeah, I love that.
Right.
I love that. Yeah, because it's something that I try to. Whenever I go into anything, it's more like, give me the bad news. I want the bad news. I want the bad with all the ugly stuff, because I want to know what went wrong. Because the right stuff is there. Okay, we'll figure it out. We'll make it better, whatever. But I'm like, where did someone fail? You know, where did someone fuck up? And I'm like, okay, just so ensure that I don't make that mistake as
Absolutely.
Well. And I'm like, okay, cool, got it. What to watch out for? Perfect. Moving on. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So that's what I tell them. A lot of times they want to learn from me because they see the work. They're like, okay, this is what we want to emulate. This is what we want. I tell them, well, this is not a package deal where I just hand it to you and voila, do it.
Because
it takes time.
Yep.
It's a skill set that you build over
practice.
Time.
Yeah.
It is practice, and it's also a style thing.
Yep.
Everyone ties a little different.
Got it.
There are certain rules that you follow, but you know, it's not as formulaic as people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to Japan, And you pull out some beautiful nylon rope like this, you'll get hissed at.
Mm.
Oh, no, don't do that. Because they're all about the traditional styles, the jute or the hemp.
Yep, okay.
The same way they write their kanjis, their language out. So if you have a big piece of calligraphy, not only do you have to get the shape right, you have to draw it in the correct order.
Oh, okay.
So you can't start at the top and work down. You've got to build. There's a language within a language.
Right, yeah.
There's another language within the rope.
Mm-hmm.
The type you use, the color you use, the shape.
Mm.
A lot of the things that developed way back in the feudal era of Japan is they would tie up prisoners.
Okay.
Certain prisoners are nobility. Mm-hmm. Others are just, you know, the peasants, the serfs, what have you. Well, if you're not all dressed up, nobody knows the difference, especially if you're not in your home province.
Mm.
So the different patterns would identify
where
you are in society.
Yeah. Wow.
What crime you're... You know,
committed.
What crime you committed.
Wow.
And what's
I like
what
it.
To you.
There you go.
So,
the more you know. No, I like it. Wow.
So it's a different
way to identify people.
So that's kind of one of those things where there are gatekeepers and purists out there who only tie a certain way, and it's got to be this way.
Yeah.
And there's people like me. I am considered, what do they call it? I am a Western fusion.
Okay.
So a little bit of like the old school John Willie, you know, damsel tied to the tracks, mixed with the Japanese flair.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I use nylon rope because it's extremely strong, got the beautiful coloring, everything, but it's very slippery.
Okay.
So it doesn't bite onto itself very well.
Gotcha.
So I have to learn an entirely different technique if I'm doing a real tight knot or if I'm suspending someone.
Oh yeah, suspension part. Yeah, I bet.
Suspension is that's that peak of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas someone who ties with jute or hemp uses totally different techniques
because
that's what works for them, for their rope, for their rope language.
Yeah. Nice.
That's one of those things where the more experience I get, the more I learn, and it just broadens my scope.
Yeah.
You know, some things don't necessarily work for me. I don't have that finger dexterity.
I
have tiny hands.
Right.
I can't do some of that.
Yeah. I have tiny hands.
Other things work.
I make these work.
I got mitts, man.
Yeah. I have. What is the opposite of mitts? Mittens. There we go. No. Anyways, no. Well, good, man. I appreciate the the history of it. You know what I mean? I did not know that.
Interesting stuff.
I did not know that. Matt, did you know that?
No.
There
did
you go.
You know that in every Jackie Chan movie you've ever seen him, where he like takes a shirt wraps around somebody's fist as they're punching, that's the same martial art that started this.
Okay.
It started rope bondage.
There it is.
Back in the Orient, both in China and Japan, Korea, Taiwan, like all. Well, Taiwan didn't exist back then, you know what I'm saying. But there is it's a martial art involving a pre-tied hank of rope, usually worn around the waist with a knot.
Yep.
And it captures someone and takes them to the ground without hurting them and binds them up really fast.
There it is. Wow.
It's Hojo Jutsu. Hojo Jutsu.
Okay.
Kind of hard to pronounce, but anyway.
Hojo Jutsu.
Yeah.
Got it.
You can look it up on YouTube and you see these guys, usually in full gi, going at each other full speed.
Yeah.
And they pull out a little 6-foot length of rope.
And then boom. There you go.
Boom. They're tied. Wrapped on the ground.
Boom. I
great.
Like it. Thanks, Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
No. Well,
that's
good.
Where it came from.
Yeah. I knew it. No. There you go. You're like, yes. Proud moment.
Some kinky stuff.
He probably is, but it's Jackie Chan. We like Jackie Chan. I think Jackie Chan is like not Forrest Gump, but Tom Hanks. I don't know. You can't not like Jackie Chan, right?
I love Jackie Chan.
Right? Do you like Jackie Chan, Matt? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever. Matt is a man of, you know, Not too many words.
Maybe words.
A few, yes. He will later express himself on YouTube. I can tell you that much. Then you'll see the words, and you're like, I'm like, fuck. Crap. Anyhow, well, good stuff as far as that goes. You mentioned people reaching out to you in your social media. Right. What's mostly you are on Instagram, because that's where obviously how I found
you. Yeah, I'm not so into the TikTok and all
you're
that.
Not? How did? What? Yeah, we need to get them on.
The curve on that. But
yeah,
the,
I don't.
The video aspect of it, you got to be charming.
You do. Okay.
But Instagram, Very Bad Boy Scout.
There you go.
All one word. I do personal classes like one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Typically, we have my girlfriend with me or another trusted person I've worked with before to be the demonstrator.
Got it. Girlfriend is?
Girlfriend is Autumn.
Autumn. Autumn, say hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hopefully you can hear that. No, but, and real quick, just kind of like jump on that part. Autumn does...
So Autumn is a rogue taxidermist.
Boom.
So
there you
she
go.
Is a ethical vegan.
Okay.
Which means she is an ethical taxidermist.
Oh.
So she won't take any trophy animal. Nothing hunted, nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Killed by anything other than natural means.
Okay, I like it.
So it usually means roadkill or pet died old day, that kind of thing. And then she makes crazy art out of it.
I like it.
So we actually brought that piece over there. That's a Shabar rat.
We're
Shabari.
Shabar rat. I like it. When I reached out to you about this, you were kind of like, I don't know. I don't know my story and all that stuff. I don't know what to say. Sorry, I didn't make you sound like that.
Exactly what I sound like.
In my head, that's what you sound. No, I'm just kidding.
That's my text voice.
Yeah, that's your text voice. Yeah, I don't know what you say, man. Yeah, it's your alter ego. What? Yeah. But I'm glad you came. And within that, I know you mentioned Autumn. As we spoke to Autumn, I did reach out and said she put on her story some X-Men nerd shit. I'm gonna say that because I'm an X-Men nerd, and I hope you don't take offense to that, because to me it's a big compliment. We're going to get to our own shoot when it comes to that. But I also asked if, you know, we could have her on. So she's up for it. Today, we're a little pressed for time when it comes to that. I don't think we've done episodes back-to-back-ish, but we didn't schedule that. So we will have Autumn on, and we'll hear her story, because you said she has a
dope story.
There it is. So no pressure, Autumn. Yeah. So we look forward to that. And by we, I mean me and my alter egos and anybody else living inside my head. No, I'm kidding. I'm half kidding. But pleasure having you. Thanks for the lesson, for your time, for your energy, for being here, making the trek, like I said, because I know you said it was a drive. So, Matt, do we have a question for Mac today?
Yeah, turn the cameras off and time up.
Oh, no. I mean, you know. People may want to pay for that.
Scott, so. Matt.
What is your ideal date night, and which of the four Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles would you want to spend that ideal date night with?
Boom.
Well, the second half changes the first half drastically.
There it is. Yeah, it does. It does for me. Mm. Oh.
Man, what a thinker.
I know we're having pizza, I can tell you that, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Raphael is definitely the... he's the rebel of the group. He's the loner. Right.
He's a little angry.
A little angry.
Yeah. Got him.
I'd say like jujitsu and French fries is the perfect date to have with Raphael from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There
get
it
a
is.
Chance to learn something, possibly get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Enjoy some French fries.
You got a sai you can borrow?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm gonna make it simple. Michelangelo, and we're having fucking pepperoni pizza.
Does April O'Neil count as part of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Is she a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
She's a member of the cast.
She's on the team.
We're going to include her, and that's for a different date.
Sorry, redheads.
Hey, you know we got April O'Neil too.
Maybe that's a caveat. We'll have later.
It also means Casey's in the mix then.
Oh.
Casey
with the mask.
With the cricket bat.
Hey. Oh, some.
It's not always going to be a party.
Yeah.
It's going to be a purge.
And you bring the rat. I'm kidding. Splinter. You can tie him up. He might be. Because he's Japanese.
More than I do.
Right? Yeah. Man, it's a whole world here going on. Well, hey. Fun times. Well, Mac, thank you again for your time, your energy, for your story. It's a pleasure having you. Keep doing your thing. And today we toast to you and everything you do.
Until
next time.